We're going to start at the end of last week's parsha, which the Perek Vav in Bereishis, the last eight psukim, talk about what happened leading up to the flood. It says, it happened. Noach was 500 years, and he gave birth to Shem, Chom, and Yafes. And we're told often, especially in Megillah, which I think the rabbi is going to start learning next in the Gemara, Vayihi is an indication that something bad is going to happen. It often indicates trouble. Vayihi b'meach Hashveirosh, we know what happened. It says then that the sons of the rulers saw that the daughters of man were good, and they picked wives wherever they wanted. Rashi says these were the sons of princes and judges, because Elohim is a notion of strength, leadership. It says they picked the women of the general population, those who were, on a societal level lower than them, and they picked and chose who they wanted. And it's the Radak says the women couldn't resist. It talks here of subjugation of the powerful of the weak. And other commentators say that the comment B'nei Elohim, the sons of God, are the God-fearing descendants of Shase, and the daughters of men were the descendants of Cain. And it says the result of such marriages was that the Cain depravity, poor behavior, godlessness, overcame the Shase people who were better. And the next pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my spirit will not contend anymore about man. He is flesh, and I'm going to number his days to 120. We know that the Mabul only started after the Shiva of Meshuselah, Methuselah, who lived, 969, the longest living person. Seeing that humankind didn't live up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aspirations, Hashem said, I've got to limit the amount of time they're going to spend on earth, because I'm going to limit the amount of time they're able to sin, right? Man became unworthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spirit should reside in him, because since he was flesh, since man is flesh, right, his flesh was overcoming his soul. The Gashmias was overcoming the Ruchnias. And God would wait. So here we see that while we first said he's going to limit the life of man, we're told that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, according to the Gur Aryeh in Rashi, was that he was giving a 120-year moratorium till he took action and would bring the flood. Then we're told that the Nephilim were on the earth. And afterwards, when the sons of rulers would consort with daughters of man who would bear them, they were the mighty from whom created men of devastation. And what we're told is the Nephilim was a species of giants. This was Oig and Sichon's friends, relatives, etc. We're told that Oig actually hung on to the Teva during the flood. They were given the title Nafal, to fall, It says, because they fell, in other words, spiritually, and they brought others down. Or else, because you took one look at them, if you can imagine, Moshe was 10 foot tall, his cane was 10, and he jumped 10, and he hit Oig's ankle. So you can imagine what these behemoths looked like. And obviously, these guys weren't guys either. They didn't use their great power for the betterment of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the evil, the wicked ways of human beings on the earth. And it says that every product of their thoughts, of their minds, or in his heart, or the thoughts of the heart, was nothing but evil. In other words, humankind was devoted now to basically self-aggrandizement, and right.
He was talking about the Nephilim, or some were bad.
He says everyone, the Nephilim, everybody, everybody followed the same pattern, and they all became Democrats. And it says, Hashem considered having made man on the earth, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I don't know what this means, felt sadness. You know what I mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and yet I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some way, even though he knows what's going to happen, is bothered when in fact it does happen.
Well, God gave everyone choice.
Free choice, right.
So he's giving you a choice to do what you, I mean,
right.
To give good, to be good or bad.
Right.
So he was upset that everyone chose to do bad.
Yeah. The Akedah Yitzchak, quoted by Rabbi Sherman, says, grief does not conflict with the notion that a Kaddish Baruch Hu knows it's going to happen. He says, someone plants a sapling and he nurtures it proudly, protects it from harm, moves it, right, etc. It grows to maturity and he cuts it down for lumber. He may feel sorry at that time that he needs a tree for lumber, right? Because at first it was his, quote, his baby and everything else, and now it becomes his plywood. He says that's maybe some notion of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu feels when mankind fails. It says, a Kodesh Baruch Hu did not bring the mabul, right, capriciously. A Kodesh Baruch Hu waited until the evil in the human race was so bad that it needed action by the Midos HaDin, the attribute of judgment. And then we're told, Hashem says, I'm going to blot out the human being that I created from the face of the earth, from man until animal, to creeping things, the birds, because I'm reconsidering my having made them. And the opposite contrast, the last pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, but Noach found grace in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem's grace was needed to save Noach's family. Oh, otherwise, only he would have been spared. Although it says Noach was righteous, he was not an influencer. He didn't go out like Avraham and try to make other follow his example. This is the Sephorna that we're talking about. Since he didn't make the attempt to help others, he really had no merit other than to save himself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, sometimes spares a person like that because he can have an influence later on, I guess, when he sees what happens and he understands he can rectify what he may have failed to do in the past. And Noach was therefore seen as the potential to get whomever was in the ark to do tshuva and to act appropriately.
Don't we say that his wife Naama, the name Naama,
means sweet.
Yeah. She was a good person, and that was the reason why she was saved.
Doesn't say that. It says.
It doesn't say that.
Obviously, probably a lot. I'm sure. Don't forget, with every mefarish, there's another mefarish. You know, as Rav Chaim Zatzal used to say, if you want to know the bottom line, that's the first thing you ask the Almighty.
So the question is, why was he called Noach? Noach is dead.
This man will bring comfort. It says in Bereishis, he will.
I heard in Agoda, Medrash, that the reason why I don't know if he was originally called Noach. Well, they called him Noah is because he developed some agricultural tools easier for people to live.
So look at the pasuk. Vayikra Shemoi Noach Lamor. This one will bring us rest from our work and the toil of our hands, from the ground with a Kadosh Baruch Hu cursed. And let's see what Rashi says. The invention of farming tools by Noach until his time, because of the curse given to Adam, the earth produced thorns and other thistles, which is very difficult for me to say with my list. When you planted wheat, you didn't get just wheat, you got chazarai.
Like we do today.
There was a tradition from Adam to his descendants that the curse on the earth would be in fact only while he was alive. Adam lived 930 years.
Right.
Noach was the firstborn after Adam's death. I think it was 26 years later. I was looking at a timeline.
That's right. It's in the back of this
Chumash. Right. So it was Noach's. When Noach was born, the curse would end. Noach, I guess, therefore, was given the schus to create farming instruments. And Lemach, his father, who knew this tradition, gave him the appropriate name.
There's another medrash that says that the thumb, the way Adam was born, and the first,
he had like webbed fingers?
Right, and he didn't have a thumb like that. The thumb is like very important that it's here.
Right.
Rather than together.
Next to the other four fingers.
Right. So before Noach.
What happened?
They couldn't use the thumb wasn't here. It was part of the other four.
It was attached to the other four.
You couldn't use
the four
it as
digits.
A hand.
It wasn't
used today.
It hadn't. Yeah.
What happened that
Noach was? Hashem had Noach born that way, I guess.
It was.
You think Hashem is making everything to perfection?
It was a mutation.
My question is, why would Hashem do that? Everything is made, right? Hashem makes something in the world. Perfection.
Nothing now is in perfection. There are mutations all over.
But this was a mutation in all human beings.
Cool.
This was not just
right.
This was not a mutation that existed and not existed. It became the.
I can't hear.
So why now? Why did he get rid of the
mutation? Why with Noah?
Because the curse was ending, and so I guess to use farming instruments, you needed this. That's all I can speculate. Rabbi Sherman in the Stone Chumash says, let's summarize. The 10 generations from Adam to Noach were an abject failure. Mankind stumbled downward, such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've just seen, said, I've got to start over. Except for Noach, and Noach was allowed to save his family. And interestingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to recreate all of the animal, reptile kingdom. He wanted remnants of the prior existence to be stuck in the Teva for as long as it would be, about a year. And that element would repopulate the world.
So what would change?
What would change where?
There are going to be good and bad regardless, before Noah and after Noah. So what was the change? Why did God do it that way if he wanted to change the world, that it shouldn't be like it was before, that he would have to destroy it?
Let me just read something, and then it says, Noach was now being given the task to be like Adam and become the next father of human beings. Although the Torah had listed him previously as the last link in the previous generation, he's now being mentioned again because Hashem said he and his children were now to become the new ancestors of mankind. Now, the question, I guess, is, and I don't have any answers, was Noach have greater potential than Adam Harishoy? I don't think so.
Definitely not.
Okay. But somehow, Noach at least was given the ability to have an effect on generations that they weren't as totally devoted to corruption and immorality as the previous generations had been. Maybe, and I'll speculate, maybe the new people, you remember the flood, you know why it happened. We're always told that the last straw, that it was theft that caused the loss, the fact that the flood occurred.
So you know that because later on when they built the Migdal, okay?
Right. The fact that they were joint.
They didn't want to have what happened at the
Right, they were afraid.
What happened to them.
Apparently there had been an earlier flood too, before the Great Flood, that had taken out a third of the world or something. I think that's Midrashic as well, because it's not in the Pasuk.
There's a lot of that's not in the Pasuk.
Yeah. So, all right, and then we have the amazing Pasuk. Eila Tardais, Noach. These are the offspring of Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. He's a righteous man. Tamim hoya b'day roisav. He was perfect in his generations. Eselikim hisalech Noach. He walked with Hashem. Hold on. His generations are what he, his characteristic. The next pasuk gives us his kids. He says, the pasuk began talking about Eilatoyldois. This is what Noach gave birth to. And then he's immediately called a righteous human being. The Torah here, we're told, according to Rashi, means that the primary offspring of righteous people are in fact their maisim, that which they do, the good deeds, the good they bring and accomplish. The worthwhile things, that's your real generations. Of Moshe Feinstein, it says, he says, why does the Torah liken Maisim Toivim, good deeds, to offspring? A person should love good deeds the same way he naturally loves his offspring. And we should have the same devotion to goodness as we would have the natural inclination to our newborns.
See, I see it the opposite way. the way I see it, in order to get the next generation to be good, you need to develop your offspring so they should be good, so the next generation should be good.
So which
if
means
they're not taught properly what to
right.
do with
but
their
if you don't,
tomorrows to
yeah,
be
but
good.
If you don't do good before they're born, how are you going to come to it? So that's what
you
the,
have to get
right.
it by yourself.
So you've got to, it's got to internalize,
you have to inculcate it,
right? Inculcate, and then you can, then you can
it
pass it on. And that's what Rav Moshe,
we'll
and that's exactly
that's
what, right. That's what
right.
Rav Moshe is saying.
Right.
It's got to be part of you. You can't give over to someone that which you aren't. The next generation.
Talking doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You have to
act.
Be it.
Right.
If you be it, then it will.
Walk the walk, don't talk the talk. Right?
Okay.
That's the cliche?
Yeah. I don't know, but that sounds right to me.
Yeah. So now, then we have that interesting comment in his generation, and we have two comments everyone knows. Even his generation, he lived amongst people initially who were not good people, and nonetheless, he rose to the top. He didn't follow the herd, one. And the other explanation is, Noach, vis-a-vis his generation, was top dog. But had he had Avram Avinu next door, he wouldn't have been anything.
I don't know why they say that.
But they do. That's what they all say, right?
But why do they pick Noah out of... Why do they pick... Why degenerate him when he's...
It is true that Noah was not as great as Avram, but it is fair to say... Maybe he would have been even greater had he had a chavrusa such as Avram Avinu. This is one of these open enigmas, you know, why? Why does Chazal say, oh, we're going to denigrate him, we're going to bring him down? And why do others say, no, we're not going to denigrate him, and we're going to say, halavai, he could have walked together with Avram Avinu. If they had been co-leaders, can you imagine what the generations would have been? I know. He feared Hashem and was not enticed, it says, by astrology, idolatry, etc., the Ramban says. He walked in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He devoted his life to become a true prophet of the Rabboni Shel Olam.
It doesn't say that.
The Ramban.
See, the difference between
the Ramban says.
Yiras Hashem. And the Havas Hashem.
No, but that's what I'm quoting the Ramban. It's not me.
Okay.
Then we know he has his three sons. And then he brings here Rabbi Sherman. The behavior of people deteriorated. First, they were corrupt, they were immoral, and they served idols. And they sinned covertly. Later, the earth became filled with robbery, which was obvious to everyone. Everybody knew they were living in a free-for-all. When that happened and nobody took action, the earth became corrupted. Because human beings were supposed to be the reason, right? That's why Adam was created after everything else. He was the raison d'etre of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in the world, right? This is a Zohar.
So
when man is corrupted, it means creation's gone. When you've got 100% corrupted population, let's say, except for really small numbers, like, let's say, Noach and maybe his family, you got a significant problem. The rest of them were not rehabilitatable. Noach and his family were, and they were put on a separate plateau. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Noach, the end of mankind has come before me. Make yourself the ark. Right? And he had about 100 years to build it. And the people came by and they said, "What you doing, old man?" And he said, "God's going to destroy the earth. He's going to bring a flood." And they said, "If God brings a flood, we're going to grab you first and dunk you in the first heavy wave." And that didn't go so good, because when it happened, God protected them. Like all these smart human beings end up, as they say, being washed away. But that's the type of chutzpah that existed, right? And
sounds like this generation here.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if somebody said that today,
what?
Right? If somebody said that to you today, you look at him like he's a nut job, right? You call Little Bellevue and put him in the hospital. That's, you know what I'm saying? It's such a whacked out.
No, they would buy him Yankees and Jets tickets and say, just don't do anything.
They wouldn't put him in the hospital.
That's the point. Who could blame anybody?
This guy, de Blasio,
who could blame anyone
mayor
for thinking such a crazy thing? Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.